Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones, had family members injured in a number of tragedies, in a number of different countries. In fact, it's too numerous to start trying to name all of them, but it would be good for us to again pray for those who have been affected by so many tragedies. And with this in mind, I thought it would be good for us to study God's amazing grace. And along with that title, let's add to it, God's amazing grace must be accepted. As you see, God's grace is spoken of throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15. 2 Corinthians 9:14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yes, that's multiple, isn't it? 1 Peter 5:12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. We know the Apostle Paul would finish his inspired letters with something like this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Romans 16:20. Well, as we begin our study in just a moment, we want to notice that God's grace must be accepted. We must obey God's commands, in other words, to receive the gift of salvation. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, we all should know what that means, preparing for eternity. Let me take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's here in Martinsville, Indiana. Yes, we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. We're always looking forward to having Bible studies. Please let us know if you're interested in setting one up at your convenience, of course. And if you have Bible questions, please send those in to us. Your comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now again, we've been announcing our gospel meeting that's fastly approaching, as it will begin November the 11th, Friday night at 7 p.m., Saturday night, the 12th at 7 p.m., then Sunday, the 13th of November, 9:30, 10:30, a potluck lunch, and then we'll wrap up the gospel meeting at 1 p.m., the final sermon by Brother Ronnie Whittemore from the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis. And Brother Ronnie is well loved by the brethren here and throughout this area that certainly know him. So you'll want to come and hear the sermons on this theme, ships of the Bible. So we look forward to that. But this Lord's Day, the Stop 11 Road lectureship begins, and I'm privileged to speak at 1:30. I look forward to hearing the other preachers throughout the week, as I like to take that week off so I can be at the lectureship. And that goes from November the 6th through the 10th, starting Sunday, of course, going through Thursday. So hope to see you there. Let's get into our study as we're looking at God's amazing grace, and it must be accepted, is what we're emphasizing. So we see everything which God does for us is an act of His grace. Let's note that. Everything which we do in obeying God is an act of our faith. And that's not just a faith only, is it? Well, of course not. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, the first part, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So the two go together. Acts 11:23, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Barnabas saw the results of God's grace. In other words, they obeyed God's commandments, His gospel. And thus, you have a working faith in accepting the grace of God. So, how do we define grace? Well, grace means unmerited favor, but the favor must be of benefit, supplying some need. For example, if I were to throw a drowning man a check for $1 million, which it wouldn't do, wouldn't be worth anything anyway, it would not supply his need. Maybe I should say some person that could supply the $1 million, even if he could. What good's that check going to do when he's drowning? He couldn't use it. So this is what we're saying here. Grace means unmerited favor, but the favor must be of benefit. Would God offer a sinner salvation that he's unable to receive? Well, of course not. This is not grace or favor, but it's the false teaching of John Calvin. He said only the elect could be saved. Well, he missed it, and I mean he missed it bad. Of course, God is no respecter of persons, and God so loved the world. That's not the elect. John 3:16, we all should know. So the bottom line is this. All who have sinned need the gift of salvation and can receive it by responding to God's grace in obedient faith. Well, notice with me Romans chapter 1, verse 5. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Now let's go to the end of the epistle that Paul wrote by inspiration to the Church of Christ at Rome, chapter 16, verse 26. "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Yes, this is what we need to understand. Obedience to the faith. And notice chapter 3 in Romans. We'll go to verse 23 and note through 26. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Did you note that? All of us need to notice this. Yes, it's grace. By His grace, verse 24, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ. This is the gift of God. In order for us to have salvation, we have to accept God's gift of salvation. As we see, we have to be faithful. We have to be obedient, as we're emphasizing. Yes, of course. This is something we want to emphasize in our study this morning. Notice the first verse in the Bible where we find the term grace. Genesis 6:8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The King James Version has. The American Standard has "found favor." Yes, grace is unmerited favor, as we said before. Noah accepted God's grace. You see, he didn't refuse it. He accepted it when? Well, when he obeyed God's commands, of course. Notice Hebrews 11:7, the great hall of faith, by faith. What kind of faith? Belief only? No. Notice, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's what we're talking about, a working faith. Noah, by preaching the word of God, was extending God's grace to all the people. 2 Peter 2:5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And as you note in chapter 6, verse 3, that is, Noah was preaching during that 120-year period that God waited before he brought the flood. And study also 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Yes, eight souls were saved by water, being in the ark. So now, let's discuss what are the two extreme views of grace that must be rejected. First of all, the false view that says men are saved by grace without obedience to the gospel. Have you heard the term grace only? Well, you certainly don't find that in the Bible, but that's a false teaching that is damnable to one's eternal salvation. And we see this view is refuted by the Word of God. In Hebrews 5:8-9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he," that is Christ, "obedience by the things which he suffered." What did he learn? He learned obedience. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that," notice, "obey him." There it is. If we don't obey him, we're not going to have the salvation that he's an author of. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God," here it is, "and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." We better not be teaching faith only, grace only. No, sir, because the Bible doesn't teach it. James 2:24-26. "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified." We'll talk about what type of works here in a moment. "By works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Did we get that? All of us. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works." Now this is a certain type of works. We want to note that. "When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we need to appreciate that faith without works of righteousness. Now that's what we're going to emphasize here. That's the type of works that are included. But let's go on to the second false view that needs to be rejected. And it's extreme as well. And that is that men are, in other words, they're saying that men are saved by obedience without the grace of God. Well, that's foolishness, as everybody should certainly see that. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, that is, works of the law of Moses, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's a working faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. What kind of works? Excluded works. Works of merit, lest any man should boast. No one can earn their salvation with works. Leaving out God's grace, just thinking, well, I come up with a cure for cancer, I deserve to be saved. No, you don't. You don't deserve Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for you. No one does. No one deserves that. There are two basic types of works in the Bible. Now let's make this as clear as we can. Excluded works and included works. Those are the two types of works. Let's start with the excluded works that are not part of God's plan of salvation. Of course, works of the flesh have no part in the plan of salvation, Galatians 5:19-21. There you have the works of the flesh. And we all should understand that. Second, this is another excluded work. The works of the law of Moses. We just mentioned that. That was in Romans 11:6. Has no part in the plan of salvation. Now let's notice Galatians 5. As we can see here, that if you stay with the law of Moses, then what happens? You see in Galatians 5:4, notice with me, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, that's the law of Moses, ye are fallen from grace. You've lost salvation. You've fallen from God's grace. You can't have salvation without God's grace. The two must go together. God's grace and man's works of righteousness. There you go. So we've eliminated. These are excluded works. Works of the flesh. Works of the law of Moses. And here's the third one. Works of merit. They have no part in the plan of salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, we mentioned this a moment ago. You see here, we're not saved by our own merit. Of course not. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. There's the excluded work of merit. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus 3:4-7. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, which should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see here, here's something to note. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, that is, these works of merit, thinking that we earned our salvation by saving someone's life. No. Works of righteousness that are included, we're going to show the difference, because this is, again, the two types of works that we're talking about, excluded and included. And we've shown that works of the flesh, works of the law of Moses, works of merit are excluded. They're not involved in our salvation. Now, let's get to the included works as man's part of the plan of salvation and must be obeyed. As you see in Ephesians 2, we read verses 8 and 9 a moment ago, where, of course, we're not saved by works of merit, not of works lest any man should boast. Now notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now these are the included works, of course, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So these are the works of righteousness that are set forth by God for us to obey, not the righteous works that we come up with on our own. You see the difference? These are the works which God has commanded. They are works of righteousness. Yes. Acts 10:35. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So Christians are redeemed and purified from all iniquity because Christ gave himself for us, and therefore we are to be zealous of good works, included works, what we're talking about now. Titus 2:14. Yes, let's be zealous to do the works of righteousness which God has commanded us. So when Christians die, then they can rest from their labors, and what's going to follow them? Well, notice Revelation 14:13. And their works will follow them. That's works of righteousness, isn't it? Yes, it's works which are included works. So we've showed hopefully, clearly, the difference between excluded works. Yes, the law of Moses, the works of the flesh, works of merit, they're not going to be included. God is not going to accept that. Included works. Works of righteousness by submitting to God's commands. Obeying the gospel. This is what we're talking about. So in the first century, some were perverting the truth of God's grace, just as some continue to do so today. In Jude 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be doing that, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Of course not. So as we've seen, our study is concerning God's amazing grace, and it truly is amazing. We love to sing the hymn, Amazing Grace, and rightly so. But we must put the two together. God's amazing grace, are accepting that amazing grace by submitting to the gospel of Christ, obeying the commands of God in the New Testament. So let's be sure that we are receiving God's grace by submitting to His will. God's amazing grace offers salvation, but must be accepted on God's conditions, not man's. And we need to ask ourselves, have we accepted God's grace by obeying the gospel of Christ? If not, why not? What are we waiting on? What's more important than eternal salvation? We cannot be saved by God's grace until we get into Christ. And certainly we cannot get into Christ unless we first hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's going to come no other way. Now, we're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Certainly the evidence proves it. John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now that we believe Jesus is the Christ, he's our Savior, having died for our sins, our Redeemer, we're ready to repent. We're going to make a change of wills and do God's will. We're going to turn away from a sinful life and go in the direction that God would have us to go. We're, of course, going to obey his commands. Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, having repented of our sins, we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That statement is made before others. And once we state that, the good confession, Romans 10:9-10, we're ready to be baptized. Now notice, confession is made unto salvation, so we're not saved at the point of confession, but we're saved at the point of contacting the precious blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. As Jesus shed his blood in his death, yes, the Roman soldier pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water, as you see in John 19:33-34. Jesus had already died, but the soldier pierced his side anyway, just to be sure. Now notice Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's where we contact his precious blood that was shed in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. This is for the remission of our sins, the purpose of baptism, Acts 2:38. Yes, we're submitting to the command of God. In order to be saved, we must contact the blood of Christ, and that is contacted through baptism, immersion into the watery grave. And as we come up out of that water and walking in newness of life, the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47. We're not going to join some man-made church. We're going to be added to the body of Christ, his spiritual body. He promised to build my church, he said, wasn't it? Yes, he did. And that's the church we need to be a part of and remain faithful, continuing to grow as a Christian, adding the Christian graces, being faithful even unto death. And we will have the victory. Yes, this is the plan of salvation that we must submit to in order to receive God's grace. That's right. And we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel if you have not done so. And we thank you so much for listening today.